Now, you know, on this program, we've been trying to get somebody on here to try to answer some of your questions about the Affordable Care Act. We've tried everything. So one of the four organizations in Indiana that received funding from the Department of Health and Human Services, and this, they got the money. They cashed the check. This is not caught up in the government shutdown. You can turn your volume up right there. See? Are providing navigators, and navigators under the Affordable Care Act received a training from the federal government. They also received training from the Indiana Department of Insurance because they are talking about insurance. Their role is not to sell you anything. Their role is to walk you through, explain the process, and literally millions of Americans tried to get on the website, healthcare.gov, can't get on. And so we heard about the navigator. I said, let me get some navigators on in day two to at least, one, this is how they'll learn how to answer questions. And more importantly, we can start to get some of these questions answered. And I'm told official navigators have a button. The button says, "Health." Now, first of all, if they're representing Wishard Eskenazi Health, they'll have their official Wishard badge that has, you know, just like if you were going to the hospital or one of the Wishard clinics, that has their name and their picture. They also have a blue button that says health care reform questions, get answers, get connected. And it's got a phone number. We'll tell you about it a little bit later. It also has the logo of Eskenazi Health in the house. An official navigator. We got Gordon Jay. He's a navigator. Blake Johnson is going to be helping us out. Pamela Hume with Covering Kids and Families of Central Indiana. Hi, guys. Welcome.
Thank you.
So we're in day two. What kind of questions have y'all been getting?
We've gotten all kinds of questions. Most of them is geared towards the technical difficulties that folks are having to get onto healthcare.gov.
So they really wanted to get on and find out what's going on.
Yes. As a matter of fact, late yesterday on ABC News, they had projected the number to have been over 2.4 million. Mm-hmm. That was around 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mm-hmm. So we have gotten a good volume of calls as well. And the only thing at this moment we are able to do is help educate the consumer on general understanding of the Affordable Care Act and what potentials they may have. Until the technical glitches are worked out, we're not able to get them through the entire process.
All right. One of the biggest questions that I don't think any media organization has answered yet is my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there are for people who live in the immediate Indianapolis area, mm-hmm. that there are four companies – mm-hmm. that are presenting plans. I believe there's the bronze, the silver,
the gold,
and the gold.
Correct.
Is that correct?
There are four companies participating in Indiana, mm-hmm. of which three are participating in the Marion County area.
So there's four companies total.
That is correct.
And there's three companies that are servicing Marion County.
Right. And the third one, PHP, is focusing its effort primarily outside of Marion County, actually in Hamilton County and beyond.
So the three companies, we know MedWise is one.
Anthem's the other.
Why did I think Anthem? Yeah. All right. So we got MedWise.
You knew Anthem was going to be a part of it.
And, you know, Anthem, you know, a.k.a. WellPoint. And the third is?
It's PHP.
Now, they're new.
Physician Health Partners.
Physician Health Partners.
Yeah. And they are, I believe, they're centered primarily in Fort Wayne in this side of the state. And they're, as part of ACA, they have expanded their territory.
Okay. In terms of kind of walking people through, when people talk to you, mm-hmm. Is there any document, you know, in other words, if somebody comes into a Wishard or a Eskenazi facility to meet you, or you guys are out in the community, you know, talking to people, is there any documentation they need to bring with them? Do they need to bring income statements when they talk to you, or is it just basic, you know, talking to you, trying to figure, at least trying to get the basic information?
Basically, to get started, you just need your name, your household size, your income, and if you really want to get signed up, your Social Security number. Because that's going to hook you up to the IRS and the Social Security Administration, where they're bouncing off all the information. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't need anything other than what you already know yourself.
What about, you know, because I didn't realize until Monday, that all employers in the country that offer health care to their employees had to notify before Tuesday. Before October 1st, they had to notify their employees that A, health care reform was coming, B, what their rights were as employees if they wanted to go through the exchange, go through the Affordable Care Act and make a decision if they find that it's cheaper and figure out whether there's tax consequences, whether there's other consequences, whether it's better or worse. So there may be some people listening that think if they already have insurance with their employer, they can't participate in the exchange. They can't talk to a navigator. That's not the case.
That is not the case if you still meet the income criteria and you are and your healthcare cost happens to be above 9.5% of your annual salary. So individuals that do meet those criteria may still be yet eligible for premium tax credits. There is the delayed employer mandate. That may make some difference to employers as to how they react to that particular issue. But just simply having a job or a employer-based product does not disqualify you from pursuing the marketplace. Most employer plans are deemed to be essential, minimal essential benefits enough. There is this thing called minimal essential benefits, which means basically any product being offered onto the under the marketplace has to provide certain benefits. And if those benefits are met and the cost is not over 9.5% of your annual salary, then that would disqualify an individual.
Now, one of the things you guys, because y'all are navigators. Okay.
Correct.
And you're dealing, you're working out of Wishart Eskenazi Health. So you're not only dealing with folks who are in the 1%. Right. You're dealing with folks in the 1 and 2% of the 99%. Let me ask some real-world, down-home, street economics questions, okay? All right, let's say you got a household of five people. In the household are three kids under 18, and in the household are two adults, okay? The two adults work for a living. And let's use it real. Let's say we got mom and grandma. Okay. Grandma has insurance where she works. So she's covered by her employer. Mom is stay-at-home mom. Okay. Kids might be on Wishart Advantage. They might be on the kids' insurance. Mom isn't. Mom's kind of figured out, okay, let me kind of skate without insurance. So what happens if, okay, grandma's covered, kids are covered, mom has no income because she's the stay-at-home mom. And she tries to go through the exchange, and her income is like zip.
It depends. If she's young enough to be, if this woman is young enough, if she's under 26 and qualifies for the grandmother's, in her case, the mom's insurance.
At work.
Then she can get on that. And if the premiums for the mom are low enough, then that'll all work out because she'll be covered by that. She does, if she... Her income is under $10,000, which is the filing amount, then she's exempt from the mandate. So if she's a stay-at-home mom getting zero income, she'll be exempt from the mandate.
What if the stay-at-home mom never filled out a tax form?
Then the mandate is recouped in the taxes. So if you do not file taxes, they can't recoup the penalty from the mandate. So they
wouldn't qualify for insurance?
You are categorically exempt from the individual mandate if you do not at the tax filing level of income.
Right.
Yeah, I think the key component also, Amos, to consider is while she may not qualify for products on the marketplace, on the ACA marketplace, healthcare.gov, she may be a candidate for various other state-run programs, Medicaid programs, things of that type.
And so she would still want to apply to see if there's anything out there for her that might be free or also low-cost assistance.
All right. Now, let me come to the next one. You got a household, still a household of five, three kids, two working adults, one male, female. They shacking up. Let's just think, come on. Let's just... Pamela gave me, come on, Pamela. Pamela gave me this look. I'm doing street real, okay?
This is going to be a question for Pamela.
Yeah. Both adults have insurance where they work. But they can't consolidate in a family plan under the marketplace. because they're not married, correct? They figured that out.
The eligibility in the marketplace is determined by the tax filing household. So if the father files his taxes individually, it's based on his tax filing and whichever dependents he's claiming. And it's same with the mother. It depends on which dependents they're claiming, and it's based on your modified adjusted gross income and those tax dependents on it's dependent on who's filing.
I see.
Right. I don't believe marital status is a consideration in that equation.
It's based on how you file.
It's based on how you file with uncle.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
And that's how all this is determined with the IRS and with all these administrations. That's what they're looking at is that tax information and how the family's described on the taxes.
239-1310. 239-1310. It's After News Davis. This came up the other night. Somebody that in 2012 had income. When they filled out their 2012 tax return, they had income. They had a W-2 that had income on it. And then they say right after they did their taxes, they got laid off. They got fired. They're without.
Right.
So in the applying process, how does that work? Because the only W-2 that they would have was last year where they were in lean. They were in fat. Now they're in lean.
Right, and consumers have the ability. I mean, you're right. Once that data runs against the marketplace hub, it will report back what would be incorrect data.
Mm-hmm.
And so consumers have the ability to actually provide documentation of their current state.
Right.
And so, I mean, similarly, somebody could be working, making a tremendous amount of money, but not get fully unemployed and make a whole lot less and be eligible for subsidies. So consumers have the ability when that does happen in those unique cases where the data does not match. They have the ability to provide additional documentation for consideration.
Some government programs count as income if you got the value of your car, the value of any property you own, the value of any stocks and bonds you might have.
Sure.
Under the Affordable Care Act, when you're looking at the ceilings or the floors of household income, does car, property, stocks and bonds, if you won Hoosier Lotto, does that kick in?
Now, what you're talking about is asset testing,
mm-hmm.
and that's what these programs do. For the expanded Affordable Care Act programs, the marketplace, all these things we're talking about, there is no asset testing.
No asset test.
It is based on your household income.
Just the straight up household income.
Mm-hmm.
So if you drive a Range Rover and your income is only $20,000 a year.
Right.
Damn, you laughing. Because come on, I'm trying to be real world here. Or if you own a house and you're upside down, so that doesn't, the assets don't count. It's just what's on that income.
Right.
What about self-employed folks that deal with 1099s?
Again, it's how they file their taxes. Whatever the number they put on their taxes, it's what's going to be reported to the IRS. It's what's going to be used for your consideration in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. What about, and I know I'm getting ready to open up cans of worms, but we're trying to deal with real-world situations. If a non-custodial parent is paying child support and that child support order included the cost of insurance for the children, if the parent wants to go through the exchange, how does that work? Or it doesn't matter because they're really dealing with be like changing insurance, going from Wishart Advantage to going to something else. And if the order says you pay the insurance, that's what you would pay.
For which parent? The one?
The one paying. Yes. The non-custodial that would be paying the child support. Not the custodial would be making the arrangements for the insurance.
Right.
Right.
But then I just thought of something. What if the child support order said that the non-custodial was making the arrangements for the insurance? Is that one of them gray areas that?
I think a lot depends on how one files their taxes. I think at the very end of this whole confusion,
it's what you say on that 1040 that counts.
That counts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other things are really considerations, but irrelevant to the bigger component of subsidies and cost share.
Pamela Hume, you work with covering kids and families here in Central Indiana. What are things that moms and grandmoms with kids who are thinking about, hey, do I want to go through the exchange? Is it going to be better, cheaper? Is it going to be better than the insurance I may already have? What do they need to take under consideration?
Well, I mean, as mentioned earlier, you know, we're going to be there to help people as they walk their way through the process, you know, navigate them through the process. So, you know, household income, family size, all those kinds of things that Blake mentioned earlier, take all those things into consideration, and we'll be there to help them, you know, through the process.
Mm-hmm. What, you know, in terms of all of this, in terms of the calls, obviously, first couple of days, is it your sense that people are really into this?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think the traffic on healthcare.gov and the inability to get on there indicates mm-hmm. that the consumer is looking forward to the changes.
What about with people who primarily younger folks? In other words, the people that aren't, you know, that are above age 26, they're not on their parents' insurance, they think they're invincible, and the only thing they ever get is the flu, and they know to go to the drugstore and get the $25 flu shot. Or they go to the drugstore and get whatever cold medicine they see advertised the most and try to wait it out. For those, they have never had to go through an open enrollment where they work. They've declined not to do the insurance that they have, or they've elected not to even go through this process. Looking at insurance when you work and your employer provides it is complicated enough. What are you all doing as navigators to really reach out to people who've never had to go through this process at all? I think even if somebody signs up for Wishart Advantage or signs up for Hoosier HealthWise, you basically are accepting a plan as is. You're not, correct me if I'm wrong, you're not going through a whole menu of different options. They basically say, this is what you get, and you say, fine. Now you're asking people who've never had to do that before to make choices. As they look at the choices, what should they keep in mind when they start looking at this menu that looks like a menu from Red Lobster?
Right.
What do they need to keep in mind?
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, just a point of clarification, Wishart Advantage or Health Advantage from HHC is a charity program. It's okay. Not an insurance program.
Okay.
And then secondly, for members who are younger, i.e. my friend Blake's age perhaps, or younger than him, if they're under 26, the ability to continue to be on their parent is a good benefit.
Is part of what you guys are going to have to do, though, is educate people on some basic things like what's a deductible?
Right.
What's a copay? You're not trying to talk down to people or treat people like they're in kindergarten. That's not what I mean. But is some of this dealing with people that have never heard these basic insurance terms before?
Yes. I would say a lot of education. And you talked about younger people reaching out to them. You know, in the past, we at Covering Kids and Families, we've been doing outreach for 14 years out in the community, different community-based organizations and partnering with organizations. We haven't really focused on that age group, so we're going to have to do things differently ourselves. Mm-hmm. And do things so that we can reach to that segment of the population, be creative in how we reach out to them. I was on a conference call last week with President Obama, and that was one of the charges that he gave those of us who are navigators to focus on young people.
Wait. Did Perez talk to you, all you navigators?
He certainly did.
I ain't heard this on Fox 59. So what did the president tell y'all?
He just basically said, you know, October 1 is coming, and you know, we want everybody to be ready, and you know, particularly to focus on young people because they're the segment of the population who felt like they are invincible, didn't get insurance, and it's time for them to become educated, and it's our job to do that education.
239-1310, 239-1310, South News. Name is We're Not With Olivia Pope and the Gladiators. We're with the Navigators. They are folks that have been, I won't say deputized, that's the wrong word. They have been educated on how to help you and your families and your friends and your nieces and your nephews get signed up under the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Because, see, Pamela Humes heard from Obama and heard that he cares. Anyway, you got questions? 239-1310. 239-1310. Afternoon's name is More after these. On the program tomorrow in our 2 p.m. hour, the new superintendent of IPS, Dr. Louis Farabee. Around 2:30, the National Organization of Minority Architects will talk to them. And then this coming Monday, 2 p.m., in his first live radio interview that I know of, the Chief Justice of Indiana Supreme Court will be here to talk about pro bono and all other kind of good stuff. Back to let me start with today, Jerome. Hi there.
Hey, my question would be if someone over 26, not working at all, has no insurance, they go to the marketplace, are they going to get insurance through there because they have no tax returns, no income, they're just living at home, they're living with their family?
That is and are they carrying on your taxes?
No, they're you know, like 45, 50 years old. You know, they're just, they're not on disability. There's no government assistance to them. They're just families taking care of them.
All right. That is a great question. How does that individual fit in ACA?
Unfortunately, since we live in Indiana and they decided to not expand Medicaid, if you make under 100% level of poverty, and for a single individual, that's around $11,500. Then you do not get any tax credits if you elect to go to the marketplace. You aren't barred from going to the marketplace, but you will not be eligible for any of the subsidies and tax credits that are available on the marketplace.
So they then would have to pay whatever the rate would be.
Whatever the actual unsubsidized rate is.
So on paper, they could get insurance.
They can get insurance. However, they will not qualify for the tax subsidies and credits.
Now, let me work the reverse. Uh-huh. Individual is living in the household with this family, and he's contributing nothing to the income of the household. The head of the household who's filing taxes, okay, obviously since this person is an adult, you can't claim them as a dependent on the tax return. Can that family add that individual on to their insurance through the marketplace?
I think there's two elements that can come into play.
And this is a great, Jerome, this is a great question.
Yeah, two things can come into play here. One is that there is another component. You've heard of the bronze, silver, and gold.
Right.
There is another plan that's
out
there.
This is this catastrophic thing.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And the catastrophic plan is really set up for healthier individuals that don't utilize, to your previous segment, your very healthy younger adult.
Mm-hmm.
That may be a consideration. The only issue with that is it's capped at age 30.
Mm.
So if somebody is going to be over age 30 in this situation, they unfortunately, in a state that has elected not to expand Medicaid, may be subject to charity care or charges of their own.
But if somebody was a family member, even if they were 40, could they not be added on that family's insurance?
Because if they're not under 26, that's where that 26.
That's where the 26
dependent thing is, right?
And because we didn't expand, so maybe Jerome send a note to Governor Pence and say, what, you got something against 40-year-old? You know, folks
no,
living
but,
it.
See, fortunately, she's on the waiting list for the Healthy Indiana plan.
Okay, right. All right. And well, hopefully, we keep trying to encourage the governor to expand that a little bit more than
well,
the
what,
way.
That's what. See, she got a letter sent to her.
Okay.
She's been on the waiting list, and she had a letter sent to her.
Within the last month or so.
Just 2 days ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've heard those letters started going out.
Right. So she's got that. So she goes back on, and she's going to reapply and do that. And they got, you know, she's got to go through that whole process there. With the Healthy Indiana plan itself, but they're saying that they're expanding it, and she's one of them that should get caught up in it and be able to get it. So they are expanding it somewhat. I mean, I just don't know. It sounds like some people are going to fall through the cracks, and this might be a way for the states to be able to absorb them.
Well, and that was the argument that was made that. If the state had expanded Medicaid, there was going to be a whole lot of money, like 100%, 99%, 95% paid by the federal government for the next 2 or 3 years. The state made the decision not to do that. And there are some states with Republican governors and Republican legislators that made the decision to expand Medicaid. Other states made that decision. I think that was part of the Supreme Court decision where they threw out the mandatory expansion of Medicaid and left it up to each state's discretion. And there are those of us that think we should have expanded. You know, the governor and the legislature feels the other way. We'll see who's right and who's wrong. But that's
this was my problem with the expansion. Mm-hmm. I mean, the opponents of the expansion of keeping a healthy Indiana plan.
Right.
Was I heard Mr. Crawford on here saying that he was opposed because they had to pay premiums. Well, people are getting into the system now that don't even have insurance that are going to be paying premiums in the marketplace. And the people that I'm talking about that are out here right now, if they would have just the money that they were going to give us, if they would have gave that to the Healthy Indiana plan, these people would already be absorbed.
You made a good point. Like I said, I was surprised that the federal government did do the waiver to allow the Healthy Indiana plan to continue because if I had been a betting man, I'd have lost that bet. So I think the governor did some good lobbying with the Obama administration, with health, with HHS, to allow it to expand. I think we could have compromised and did a little better. But you made some great points. You asked a fantastic question, Jerome. I appreciate it. Let me go to John at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
All right. I wonder if you guys know that the whole Affordable Care Act is 2,000 pages long. How do you expect to understand the law when it's that big?
It's not the only 2,000-page law that's ever been passed by Congress.
Yeah, some of us have actually read 938-page summary of the law, so we are painfully aware of how difficult it is.
So part of your study was you actually had to read every page.
I took it on myself as the program director for Eskenazi Health HHC.
It's like the head navigator, you read the whole thing.
I wanted to be familiar with what the law was and how it was designed and what the loopholes and various other issues that people talk about. I wanted to have an intelligent conversation when it did come up.
I will save that conversation for a little later. We'll be here, you know, 4 days trying to figure that out. Let me go to Kevin at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. You know you got the best show in this
Thank
city.
Thank you. What's up?
What I want to ask is, with the new people coming on with the new insurance, do they get to pick their doctors? And then what if they can't pay their copay?
Wow, two great questions. First of all, on these plans that really we've not – before I ask this question, is there a reason why the details and the actual final prices of these plans have not been made available to the media? I mean, I think the media was all frustrated saying, okay, we figure we'll get in on the website. We can't get on the website. Is there a reason why – is that considered confidential? Is there a reason why that has not been distributed to the media? The details of these nine or however many plans are being distributed here in Marion County?
I think those are questions probably for the participants itself. Mm-hmm. We, too, are subject to the information that's published. And as navigators, we provide unbiased information to the consumer, so it would be inappropriate for us to comment on
so if it, so if I want my audience to know what's in Anthem's plan, PHP, and MedWise, I need to pester them. They get ready to get a call. Because I think that's part of the problem. Nobody really knows. Because to answer part of Kevin's question, and you know, how much can you answer in terms of doctor availability in these plans? Is it restricted? Is it any doctor? You got to go to certain hospital empires, or are you guys included? Did they exclude you guys? You know,
and when you get to the point of trying to sign up for the plan and you got all your options in front of you, you'll want to know who your doctor is and which network they're in. We work for Wishard, and Wishard we know is going to be in the MDWise network and the Anthem network. The MedWise and Anthem.
So part of when somebody is either going online, if they can get online or calling the toll-free number or meeting a navigator in the community, part of what they need to have, besides knowing what the Social Security number is, is they need to know who their personal physician is, if they have one.
Right.
If they got kids, who's the pediatrician? If they're a lady, who's the OBGYN? If they got a – is dental in this too?
There is a plan, which is a standalone dental plan that's being offered as part of the marketplace, and I do believe Children's Dental is qualified as a essential health benefit.
All right, so they need to know who the dentist is. And if there's a particular hospital they feel comfortable with of all the hospitals, they need to know that as part of sitting down and talking with the navigator.
That is correct. And I think most people like us who have been going to a particular health system or a doctor will probably choose to stay with them. And if you can find a plan or a program that best meets those needs, that probably would be the best way.
Kevin, I think I missed one of your questions. Which one did I miss? Is Kevin still there with us? And we probably lost Kevin. Let me go to Ron right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Ron.
Hi. This is my dilemma, my problem. I just turned 65. I recently got my red, white, and blue card. I also work, and I work for St. Vincent. So I had been on their insurance. Now it's time to renew there, and it's time for this affordable care thing. I have no idea what I should do since I qualify for red, white, and blue. Because I get them confused, Medicare, Medicaid.
All right, so you're 65, so you got your Medicare card, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you also work for the wonderful people at St. Vincent.
Yes.
And so you're trying to figure out how Medicare fits into St. Vincent's health plan, correct?
Yeah, well, I had no idea last year. You know, I had my insurance from my from St.
Right,
Vincent.
Right.
Middle of the year, I got my card.
Mm-hmm.
So the card became my secondary.
Yeah.
So now, with this new occasion, with this new occurrence, I don't know do I need to sign up again with Medicare? Do I also need to sign up again with my St. Vincent plan?
Well, hold on a second.
I sign up with both.
All right. I think, first of all, with Medicare, once you hit 65, you're in Medicare.
I don't have to sign up anymore.
No, you in Medicare till the Lord calls you home.
Okay.
So now that's the first thing. That's the first piece. The second piece is this came up the other night, navigators, and somebody, I think there's some people that are on Medicare that think the exchange is going to be cheaper and better, but I think the consensus that Medicare is going to be, if you're a Medicare member, you'll hang with Medicare. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think the other thing as it relates to what St. Vincent's is also offering you, sit down with HR at St. V's.
Oh, I don't think they got a clue.
No, here's what you're doing. You're measuring what they offer through St. Vincent. In other words, their health care compared to Medicare. And see, are there any gaps that the health care through St. Vincent may help you with? That's what I meant.
Okay. All right.
That's a great question, though. I appreciate it. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310. We'll take a break. Now everybody's warming up. We got some more questions because we're learning a lot today. And it's also a way to test the navigators. This is like a navigator final exam being on this program. Anyway, it's Afternoons with Amos after these. Navigators only have a few more minutes to hang. They got to go out and navigate. And I don't want, because I'm sure the Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Medicare Services are monitoring this program. Even though the government is shut down, I'm sure the NSA monitors are still working. So I don't want to get any of the navigators in trouble. But Gordon Jay, you were telling me during the break that the reason you guys have some restrictions in terms of you guys have to be neutral brokers in all of this. Not brokers is the wrong word. Neutral advisors in all of this. You cannot lift up one plan over the other. You've got to be like King Solomon. You got to be even Steven across the board. And that if the companies offering the plans go out on their own, their representatives talk to consumers about, here's my plan. My plan is the best plan. They don't get the benefit of the discounts if you're not going through the website or the toll-free number.
That is correct. And I think that is a important point to clarify, that consumers, if they expect to go to directly to one of the other the participants in the market, the three that are in.
You ain't getting a discount.
You are not going to get a discount if you qualify for them.
Okay.
You, in order to get that, you must go through the healthcare.gov site or the toll-free number.
And trust me, I'm sure if the president, Pamela Hume, talked to y'all, your navigators, I'm sure he is on the phone to the computer people. If he's not on the phone, I think the first lady's on the phone, because the first lady can use that language that the president doesn't want to use. 239-13. Would y'all fix them servers? Guess so. We could give him some advice on how we had to do it's not McGraw-Hill. By the way, McGraw-Hill is not the company involved in the website. Thank goodness. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine.
I kind of tuned in a little late, so I hope I'm not overlapping anything. But I have kind of a three-part question.
Okay.
One is that I don't currently have any insurance. I have three small children that has Hoosier Health.
Mm-hmm.
And also my wife is on disability and she doesn't have any insurance. So how would that qualify me?
Let me ask you this. On your income tax, are the three kids and your spouse all listed as dependents on your income tax?
Yes.
Okay. And so it's a total of five people in your family. Is your income below 45 grand a year? Okay, on navigators, does that sound like if he talks to a navigator or goes through the exchange, he could be eligible for some of the credits and stuff?
Yes, he could be eligible, but he also could be in that under 100% level where he doesn't get any premiums. Now, if his wife is on disability, she needs to apply because she has a very good chance that she could get disability Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's just a program that's always existed, and then she'll be able to apply for that, and that's a free program, and that's a major medical program that everyone knows about already.
So that kind of leads to my next question too. I was wondering about what if someone does have a handicap and or are veterans.
Handicap, and what was the other thing you said? Veteran.
And veterans.
No. Well, see, veteran, you fall under VA, but let me ask, how would that fall under the marketplace?
The marketplace qualifies plans several as already meeting the qualified essential benefits level. The Veterans TRICARE, CHAMPAs, things of that type, Medicare, Medicaid, are already deemed to be sufficient enough. There would not be any additional benefits to that consumer. If you already meet those, you are exempt from the individual mandate.
Is this something that Anonymous needs to call Gordon J., the toll-free number that's on your button?
That is true, yeah.
All right. You got a pen or paper, my brother?
I sure do.
All right, I'm going to give you a number. You ready?
Go ahead.
1-855-202-1053. And okay. Gordon, is this the 24/7 number?
We are currently working 7-7.
Okay, this is a local toll-free number. So okay. It may not be as backed up as the number for the feds. And okay. They run from 7-7. So you might want to try it now.
Okay.
And you might be able to get through. If not, wake up at 7:10 tomorrow morning. And then when Robin Roberts and George Stephanopoulos come on Good Morning America, that's when you dial the number.
Okay.
Now, okay.
1-855-202-1053.
Right. That's the local navigator number. That's the navigators.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let me go to another Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Well, how are you doing?
We're fine.
My question is a three-pronged question. The first question is, if I have Wishers Health Advantage, are these new available programs going to impact that current coverage?
Great question. All right. Blake Johnson, he's got Wishers Advantage. What should he do?
If you are under 100%, then your Wishers Advantage doesn't change at all because the state didn't expand Medicaid, so that program is going to still be necessary for those folks. If you do get into the part where a program is now available for you, then you should apply for that because you are still going to be subject to all those penalties. And Wishard is just a charity care program that is the payer of last resort. So if there's something out there for you, you need to get it.
Anonymous, let me ask you, how many people in your household that you declare on your income tax?
Three people.
100% of poverty, three people. What's that, 20, was it 23, 24, something like that?
23.5 is family of four.
All right. Is your income below 23 grand?
Then you will not qualify for any subsidies. And at this point, if you live in Marion County, you should apply for HIP and the public assistance, but Health Advantage will still be there for you.
Well, I was denied for the HIP. That's why I was – that's at least my second question, which is if I was previously denied for HIP. With that said –
It doesn't hurt to try again, just renew, because the eligibility standards have changed and the people on the rolls are changing. So it doesn't hurt to try again and keep your advantage up to date.
Okay.
Okay. And my last question was, if my wife is on Medicaid, should she apply for one of these new available programs?
If she's on Medicaid, she's got it. She's got what the Affordable Care Act called is a qualified health plan. And that's what we're trying to get everybody covered on is a qualified health plan. And so she has it. She's good.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me go to Ann, be our next to last caller with the Navigators. Hi, Ann.
Hi. My question was the same as his. And my answer, I pretty much got my answer, except for the, is it 150%, if you're above 150% of the poverty level, will they, in essence, lose Wishart Advantage then? Since you're encouraging them to go ahead to the marketplace?
Great question.
If you have something out there, you need to get it, and you might be deemed non-compliant with Wishart Advantage if there's a program out there for you that you elect not to get.
Okay.
How many? Let me ask you, how many in your household?
There's three.
And the three including you, and that's what you file on taxes?
Correct.
And is your combined income under 23,000?
A little over.
A little over. I think it's something, let me give you the Navigator number. I think it's something to talk to the Navigators about. You ready?
Yes.
1-855-202-1053. Now, this is a local Indiana, they pay for the call number. And it's open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So you might try it now because people haven't learned about that number yet. So it's not jammed yet. It's going to get there, but it's not jammed yet. If not, wait till Robin Roberts comes on Good Morning America. And then, that's when you start calling. Okay?
All right. Thanks so much.
I suspect, Amos, tomorrow it will be much more jammed than it was before we came here on this program.
See, this is like final practice. This is graduation day. Michael will be our last caller with the Navigators. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. My name's Michael. I was calling. No one said anything about the prescriptions on this health care plan deal. Is that going to change? Because my pharmacy bills are so high that I was wondering if that had anything to do with the pharmacy.
What kind of insurance you on now?
I'm on a Blue Cross Blue Shield.
You on regular insurance?
Yes.
Through your company?
I took a early retirement, but yes, I'll do a pension plan.
Oh, through your pension plan?
Yes.
He asked two questions. One, if somebody's got insurance on their pension plan, they could still, doesn't hurt them to go and see if there's anything, if there's something better on the exchange?
That should not hurt them. The exchange will ultimately determine their situation, but it doesn't hurt to see what the exchange says.
And going through the exchange or calling the Navigator number, that's where he could find out what the prescription things are with these plans.
Yeah, and I think one of the key things to consider is that all of these qualified health plans have minimal essential benefits, mm-hmm. and prescription is a component of that.
Right.
And so I think anybody going through the healthcare.gov ACA marketplace will will be benefited.
But it also means, and I forgot to say this with the other information that that people ought to have when they talk to a navigator, which was the name of your doctor, what hospital you hang with, the name of the dentist, name of the pediatrician, also the types of medicine you use, because then the navigator, you can look at the plans and see what the costs are of those medicines. So I'm going to give you, Michael, I'm going to give you the navigator number. You got a pen and paper?
Yes, I'm going to go ahead.
All right. 1-855-202-1053. And when you talk to them, have a list of your medicines that you take with you, next to you.
Okay.
Because then they'll be able, as they look through the plans to tell you what's in the plans, they can look at the prescription drug benefit and see what the cost of those medicines would be.
Oh, all right, Amos, that's a big help, because I was a bit curious about the prescription plans to do this. Thank you.
I appreciate that, and that may be something that, because you're right, people may not care all that much about the benefits that are in the plan. But they would care about the prescription. And going back to the catastrophic plan, the plan that assumes that a young person is going to be real healthy, but this is protecting you if you get run over by a truck,
right?
And dealing with major medical. But does that catastrophic cover medicine, prescription drugs?
That catastrophic plan itself too has to meet the qualified health plan threshold. So they have a which has in the catastrophic plan, it's mostly geared towards major medical.
Mm-hmm.
It does not include maintenance type coverage. It does allow one to get some level of preventative and primary care. I believe the visits are capped at 3 per year.
So you can do a regular checkup 1 or 2 times a year,
right?
And you could get a prescription for the simple kind of medicine that you get with a prescription, like a flu shot or something, but it could not. But obviously medicine that you would need to take if you were recovering from major illness, that's going to be there under the prescription.
That may not.
May or may not.
Depends on the coverage that ends up ultimately being picked. And I think part of this is dependent on the consumer's ability to what type of cost they want to incur. In the beginning, most people, I think, assumed that the bronze plan may be the best fit for them because it has the lowest premium. But the flip side of that is also has the highest out-of-pocket cost. And so those are the types of unique individual discussions that we as navigators need to help our consumers understand. And just one point of clarification about the Wishart Advantage issue that came up. What Blake had described as that if you have choices available that you ought to exercise them, that has been always the process and the protocol and the procedure for that charity care program.
We want to thank you guys, Pamela Hume, Blake Johnson, Gordon Jay, with Wishart Eskenazi, navigators, folks that got to hear the President of the United States give the charge to the navigators. And we'll figure out a time, because we get one when this thing kind of settles down, probably toward the latter part of October or definitely in November, get a whole bunch of navigators, on the program, for a full 2 hours and kind of walk everybody through what's going on. Meanwhile, see, now I know I'm going to go look up PCP, PHP, and PHP. MedWise and my friends down at Anthem, see if I can't cajole them, threaten them, or do something to at least come on the program, since I can't get on the website, to at least tell me what their plans are offering. My goodness gracious. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. Appreciate it.